America Weekend.
I am the morning DJ at WOLD. Playing all the hits for you wherever you may be.
Welcome back to America Weekend. I'm Ed Kalenge.
I'm Christina Staffa.
Our next guest has been a huge part of the fiber and fabric of morning radio in New York City for over four decades. Since 2003, he's been heard every weekday morning on WAXQ Q104.3. It is an honor to have in studio today Jim Kerr. Jim, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you very much, Ed.
This Christina. Is very exciting.
Isn't this?
I mean, you grow up and you listen to Jim Kerr.
Exactly.
And it's just like, wow, being with him in person.
This is, as someone who had the radio bug from like, what, 8, 9, 10 years old, to be able to sit and be in the same studio and have a conversation with Jim Kerr, this is quite an experience. We want to thank you first for your time today. This is tremendous for us.
Well, it's very exciting for me, too, to be able to spend some time with you, because I never in a million years imagined that it would ever be possible some 42 years after starting on the radio in New York City. I mean, that's not where I started on the radio, but 42 years since my arrival in New York. That was in March of 1974 when I was 21 years old, when I became the morning person on WPLJ, which was owned by ABC. Mm-hmm. And my goal at the time was to survive in New York radio for a year, because, you know, that would be respectable. Mm-hmm. And then I'd go back home to the Midwest and spend the rest of my life bragging to all my friends that I worked in New York once. But that plan didn't work out. And here it is 42 years later. And
you're still here.
And I'm still here.
It's amazing.
I haven't figured out how, but I'm still here.
You were 21 when you came to New York.
Yes.
All right. And so when you got to New York, when you had superstars in music radio at that time, Scott Muni, Dan Ingram, Harry Harrison, some of the other people, they're not 21. They're well into their 40s at that point. Did you think, wait a minute, this is all coming way too soon for me?
Well, no, because I'd been doing it already for a long time. I've been on the radio since I was 14. Mm-hmm. And I started in Ypsilanti, Michigan, at a station that was called WYNZ. And by the time I was 16, I was working full time, living in a rooming house on my own. And, you know, you just, when you're beginning your career, you just keep trying to move to a bigger station.
Sure.
And a bigger station and a bigger station. So by the time I was 18, I was in Detroit, which is my hometown, and I was on the station that I listened to when I was a kid. I idolized the personalities on that station, and to be able to sit in the same chair that some of the people that I admired so much had once inhabited was very exciting to me. The only disappointment was they gave me a fake name when I was there, so none of my friends that I grew up with
How terrible is that?
And that was the only time I worked in my hometown.
Yeah.
Then from there, it was off to Chicago, and from Chicago to New York. So I was intimidated, and I was the youngest. But that being said, I was also confident because I'd been doing it already for what I perceived at the time to be a long time.
It was a long time at that point, sure.
Well, it was a big, giant percentage of my life at that at that particular point.
When you're on the air, it's very interesting, you know, being with you in person, because the way you sound on the air is how you sound in person, which is very different for a lot of people who are in this industry. You have a very laid-back personality on air. You have a very distinguished voice, which is funny because how can your friends not know, even with a fake name, that that's not you on the radio?
You've always been you on the radio.
Well, the thing, but there's a reason why I've always been me. And the reason why I've always been me is because my own perception was that I wasn't as talented as the people that I would be competing against doing what they do. See, when I came here to New York, I listened to the other morning shows. And, you know, Don Imus, a comedic genius. Harry Harrison, the most sunshiny personality in the history of the world. Mm-hmm. You know, the sun shone right out of the speaker when the guy was on the air. There were other people who were musicologists or showbiz experts. There was Ted Brown was still on the air doing mornings. I mean, he was a legendary morning person before I was born. These people were all so good at what they did that I didn't see an opening to go head to head against any of them, because I couldn't be as funny as Don Imus, for instance. So the only choice I had was to just be me.
And you, with your personality, very relatable. You're just a regular, normal guy. And I think that's been so important for why you've lasted in the market for decades.
Yeah, through different genres and everything,
right.
You know?
Yeah, but it's almost like it happened by mistake. You know, because because most people on the radio had an act of one type or another at that particular point in time. I mean, after all, you are putting on a show. It is a performance. Mm-hmm. But because I was intimidated by the competition, I felt, well, I'm just going to have to be me. And if people like me, that's good.
Right.
And if they don't, well, you know.
If someone comes into a market and they put on this giant air, they can flame out very, very quickly.
And a lot of people have.
Exactly.
I mean, there are a lot of people that I've competed against, very talented people who've come into town and made a very big splash, but don't last for a particularly long time. Boy, there were a lot of those.
We could sit here and just name those people, but we won't. When you started, you said you were 15 years old.
14.
14. Tell me what it was like, because anyone in radio, anyone who is a performer, gets the bug, and you know what that is, and you can't shake it. And it's the only thing that can satisfy it is being on the air.
Well, I had the bug for years before I actually was able to go on the air, because I didn't get on the air until I was 14. But the bug bit me, and it's Mrs. Douglas's fault. She was my second grade teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And while I was in her class, we went on a field trip to downtown Detroit, where we went to the studios of WWJ, AM, FM, and TV. And we took a tour, and it was just the coolest place I had ever seen in my entire life. Walking through there, I mean, I was walking through this big TV studio. It was really very interesting because I saw the news set where the newscasters sit. But there was something really interesting directly on the other side of the room. So when the news people were doing the news, as they faced forward, what they saw behind the cameras was the Bozo the Clown set, which was just on the other side of the room. And down the hallway, there was a set for a travel show that was on Channel 4 in the afternoons. I'd seen that show many times, and it looked like somebody's study with a big globe and bookshelves and all of that. And it was this little thing against the wall. And it just the magic of it all just seemed so exciting. And we went and we saw the radio studios, and I saw this person on the air doing a show called Ask Your Neighbor, which was a talk show, advice. Someone would call up with a problem and maybe another listener might have the solution. And I realized that the person hosting the radio show also played the Twin Pines milkman on the Milky the Clown show. And it just seemed so amazingly cool. I'd never seen any place like it before. And I wanted to be a part of that world. Now, I didn't know what I wanted to be in that world. I didn't know if I wanted to be a radio or TV announcer or a camera operator or a boom operator.
But you knew you needed to be there in
right.
some
or
way.
Or a writer in the newsroom right. or a stage manager. I just knew that I wanted to be a part of it. And so after that, I would play in the basement in my house. I would pretend I was on the radio or on TV, and I would put on shows of one type or another for myself. And, people must have thought I was a little crazy.
No, I had a walkie-talkie.
But I was obsessed
with
it.
I did the same thing. I taped the transmission button down with duct tape. Duct tape is wonderful. And I had my own little radio station. We've all done that.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the beginning for us all. And it's amazing.
Well, I never did that.
Well, you know what she'll be doing this weekend.
Well,
she will actually go home
any,
and do that.
I'm going to be putting on a show.
I didn't
show
have any grown-up records. Well, for records on the shows, I would be playing little golden records, my little golden records.
Really?
You know?
Wow.
Because I didn't have grown-up records.
Yeah.
I was the oldest kid. You know, my parents' records were, I wasn't allowed
to
touch
those. Doing the top five, the little golden records of that week. See?
Yeah.
So how awesome is it that now you're actually playing music that you're a fan of? It has to make, you know, life so amazing for you.
Well, there's never been a time when I played music on the radio that I wasn't a fan of. That's not to say that I don't have favorites or that there are some songs, no matter where I've worked, that I play that I don't particularly care for. But generally speaking, the different genres of music that have been a part of my life are all very important to me. I like music. I do.
Do you have like...
I was a French horn player.
Oh, hey.
Really?
Not a guitar player.
Wow.
Girls didn't care about French horn players.
No. That's too bad.
But all those girls are now grown-up women living in and around the suburban Detroit area, wishing they made a move with the guy playing the French horn. We're coming up on a hard break. Stay with us. More with Jim Kirk, along with Christina Staffo. I'm Ed Kalenge, and this is America Weekend from the Envision Radio Network.
America Weekend.
This is attorney Jay Coleman with The Final Verdict. Sarah has been a professional babysitter for years, so people were shocked when she was arrested for being drunk while babysitting. Apparently, the oldest of six kids she was watching called the police one night and made the report. Sarah is over 21 years old, so what would be the actual charges against her? The Final Verdict after this.
Have back taxes taken control of your life, your bank account, your paycheck? It's time to take back control and avoid tax liens, bank levies, garnished wages, and criminal charges. Take control today and call U.S. Tax Shield now at 800-524-6201.
Order in the court!
Sarah was charged with six counts of endangering the welfare of a child, serious offenses, and obviously the end of her babysitting career. And that's the final verdict.
Now, cheap psych tricks with Dr. Buff.
And Dr. Buff here. Did you know that your passwords are very, very predictable? And it's not difficult for thieves to figure them out. Here's the social science of it. 90% of passwords are highly familiar. Most use their name, children's or partner's name, even a pet's name. Teens use passwords associated with celebrity idols, cartoons, Homer Simpson or Madonna. Those are the two most popular fantasy passwords. Some passwords are very, sexual. Finally, only 10% of all passwords are cryptics and use strange-looking, boring, and unintelligible collection kind of gobbledygook numbers and letters. What's the cheap psychological trick? Go with boring passwords. Don't go with something that's top of mind. Never, ever give a hacker an even break. Did I nail your password? Let me know at drbuff.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 888-359-MY-TV.